Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something a little different. It's not just a piece of software, but really an architectural solution that was born out of a crisis. We're going to be unpacking an essential open source platform, a kind of digital front end that was specifically designed to handle the immense chaos of scaling a university classroom during a global pandemic. Our mission today is to really get a handle on how this platform makes life so much better for institutions that are trying to manage huge numbers of users all at once, especially if they're relying on Big Blue Button. But first, a quick word on why all this matters, why stability and a solid architecture are so key. This deep dive is supported by SafeServer. SafeServer focuses on hosting complex open source software, you know, exactly the kind of tools we're discussing today, and they really support clients on their digital transformation journey. So if you need powerful hosting that just works, you can find out more about how they do all the heavy lifting at www.safeserver.de.
Right. So the core subject today is PILOS. It's an acronym for Platform for Interactive Live Online Seminars. And if you're new to this whole space, the easiest way to think about PILOS is this. It's a modern, very easy to use open source front end. It's designed to sit right on top of your Big Blue Button or BBB server setup.
So it's the nice looking website, the dashboard, basically the user-friendly part that students and teachers actually log into.
Exactly. It's built on top of that powerful but sometimes complicated engine underneath.
And what makes it so special?
Well, what makes PILOS instantly relevant for, say, a big university deployment is that it brings a massive piece of enterprise-level functionality right out of the box.
Okay.
A built-in load balancer.
The load balancer. That really is the star feature here. But before we get into the mechanics of that, let's get the origin story. The source material is very clear this wasn't some commercial product.
No, not at all. It was born from pure necessity. PILOS started at the Teach Middle Hessen University of Applied Sciences, specifically in their Faculty of Health.
So not even the main IT department.
Right. And that's important. This was a faculty that was, you know, deeply affected by the sudden shift to remote learning in 2020. They needed a custom solution for their specific problems, digital classrooms, secure group work, and running these huge online seminars without everything crashing.
I think we all remember those days in 2020, just scrambling to find any platform that could handle that sudden surge in users.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the tools out there, even the open source ones, just felt like they were held together with, I don't know, duct tape and good intentions.
And that experience, that constant frustration with crashes, with missing features, with the difficulty of getting things to work, that was the direct catalyst for PILOS. They just needed a modern, flexible system that was actually built for an academic environment.
So let's transition a bit into that core relationship. We've said PILOS is the front end, the body of the car, so to speak. What exactly is Big Blue Button, the engine, doing?
So Big Blue Button is the underlying heavy-duty open-source web conferencing system. It's what's actually handling all the functionality.
Like the video streaming, the whiteboards.
Exactly. The video encoding, shared whiteboards, breakout rooms, all the recording capabilities, all the real-time stuff. PILOS just tells it what to do.
I see.
And a really crucial point here, which they emphasize in their documentation, is that while PILOS uses BBB, it's not endorsed or certified by Big Blue Button Inc. It's a completely independent, specialized wrapper around it.
A customized wrapper built for a university's unique needs. And this brings us to that big pivot point.
Yeah.
Because there's another well-known front end for BBB, right? Yeah. Greenlight.
Yes, exactly. Greenlight is a very functional, widely used project. Mm-hmm. So the critical question is, why? Why did the team at THM spend all the time and resources to build PILOS from the ground up? Why not just, you know, fork Greenlight and add the features they wanted?
And that's really the core of this whole deep dive. If open source is about collaboration, why start over? The sources seem to put the blame squarely on one thing. Architecture.
They're very direct about it. During that really intense 2020 online semester, a lot of crucial features they needed were either exceptionally difficult or just unsolvable within the Greenlight framework.
Unsolvable. That's a strong word.
It is. And the difficulty wasn't about the skill of the developers. It was about Greenlight's fundamental architectural choice. It was built on Ruby on Rails.
Okay, so for anyone listening who's a bit more on the technical side, can you elaborate on that? Why would a Ruby on Rails foundation be such a roadblock for a system like this?
Well, Ruby on Rails can be fantastic for building apps quickly, especially things that are pretty predictable and synchronous. Think of like a standard website or some admin forms. But a massive video conferencing system, especially one that has to dynamically manage a whole pool of load balance servers, needs extreme asynchronous handling. You have thousands of users all starting sessions, checking server capacity, updating lists, all at the same time.
So the architecture of Rails, which is more monolithic, more synchronous, it just started fighting against the chaotic high concurrency needs of a live teaching platform.
That's a perfect way to put it. They ran into what we call architectural friction. To build a dynamic, API-driven load balancing system, which needs constant server health checks and routing sessions on the fly, they realized it was just too complex to force that into a traditional Rails structure.
So it was actually easier to start over.
The cost of starting fresh with a modern, decoupled architecture was actually lower than trying to force the old one to work.
Which brings us back to that essential feature, the load balancer.
And this is where Pylos really shines. This
Yeah.
isn't just a simple round-robin load balancer. You go to server A, you go to server B. With streaming video, it's not that simple.
Right, because once you're in a meeting, you have to stay on that specific server session persistence.
Absolutely mandatory. So the Pylos load balancer sitting on the front end, it uses the Big Blue Button API to check the real-time capacity and health of the entire pool of servers before it ever routes a user to a room.
So it prevents those cascading failures you'd see when an institution just pushed too many people onto one single BBB server.
That stability is the huge payoff for that big architectural overhaul.
Okay, that shifts us perfectly from the why to the how. If Ruby on Rails was the problem, what is this new flexible architecture they chose? Let's break down the four main components, the stacks that make up Pylos.
Right, so we'll start with the obvious one. Component one is Big Blue Button. It's still the indispensable engine, the core conferencing system.
Understood. So what did they choose to replace Rails with for the main foundation?
That would be Laravel. Laravel is a very powerful, expressive PHP web framework. They chose it specifically to build the back-end JSON API.
So when the source material talks about its expressive, elegant syntax, what does that mean in practical terms?
It's basically developer speak for saying it makes building complex, scalable APIs a lot simpler and faster than what they were dealing with before. It lets you have that clean separation between the back-end logic and the front-end display.
So Laravel is.
That's component number three. Vue. Vue is the JavaScript framework they used for building the user interface. So the clean dashboard, the room creation pop-ups, the settings pages, that's all Vue.
So by using Vue, the front end can be updated and maintained completely independently from the Laravel backend.
A huge amount of flexibility compared to a monolithic system where the UI and the backend are all tangled together.
And this decoupled architecture, Laravel for the backend, Vue for the front end. That is the direct answer to the problems they had with Greenlight.
It's the whole point of the project. And then there's one final piece, the translation layer. They needed a reliable way for this new Laravel API to talk to the Big Blue Button engine.
The translator, what is it?
It's the fourth component, a library called Littler Button, Big Blue Button ABEP. It's basically a specialized, unofficial PHP API wrapper.
Okay.
It translates the commands from Pylos like create a meeting or what's the server status into a format that the BBB engine understands, and then it translates the responses back. It closes the loop.
That makes the whole stack incredibly clear. And looking at the technical snapshot, the code is about 80% PHP and 19% Vue. That heavy reliance on PHP and Laravel, it suggests something about the original developers, doesn't
But
it?
it does. It signals that the internal expertise at the university was likely very strong in the PHP ecosystem. You could argue for using other languages like Node or Go for this kind of thing, but choosing Laravel was a pragmatic choice.
Right.
It balanced the need for a modern architecture, which it delivers, with the need to use the skills they already had to get a solution built quickly. You have to remember, this was an emergency.
And for other institutions looking to actually use this, the docs mention Docker images are available. For a university IT department, why is that so critical?
Docker just simplifies complexity enormously. University IT systems can be a total mess. Different operating systems, weird security rules. Docker packages the entire application and all its dependencies into one standard unit.
So an admin can deploy it reliably no matter what their server environment looks like.
Exactly. It radically cuts down on installation time and configuration errors. It's really the gold standard for this kind of institutional deployment.
It definitely speaks to the maturity of the project. Which brings us to our final section, the open source spirit and the community health of Pylos?
It's a healthy project. It's licensed under the LGPL 2.1 license, which encourages people to use it. And the metrics show solid engagement. You see about 60 stars, 26 forks on GitHub, which shows developers are actively interested. They're playing with the code.
And for a tool designed for education, which is obviously global, localization must be a huge focus.
It absolutely is. And they handle that through a service called the PO Editor Project. They actively use it to call for collaboration, inviting people from all over to help contribute translations. It's a great way to make sure the platform works across language barriers.
So if you're an IT director at an institution and you're looking at this platform, what are the practical steps available to actually implement it?
They've provided really excellent detailed guides. You have the standard installation instructions, of course, but crucially, they also have an upgrade guide for moving from older versions.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe most importantly, they offer a specific migration guide for any institution that's currently running Greenlight 2.
That migration guide is,
yeah.
That's the ultimate sign they know their audience. They're basically confirming, we know you hit the same architectural wall we did, and here's the way out.
It offers a clear, documented path to architectural stability, and all the collaborative spaces are wide open, too. The GitHub repo is really well organized with sections for code, issues, discussions, a security policy. It's all there. This is a platform built for long-term community support. So if you step back and look at the whole journey, Pylos wasn't some theoretical project. It was a knowledge product born from the immediate, urgent need of a university during a crisis. Its main purpose was to solve the architectural friction they found in a monolithic system like Greenlight.
And the result was this modern, flexible platform based on Laravel and Vue.
Right. One robust enough to handle the sheer complexity of large-scale digital education today.
It's a really inspiring example of how solving an internal problem with intelligence can lead to a tool that's valuable for everyone. It shows the power of making the right foundational choices, even if it means doing the hard work of a complete rewrite.
And that leads us to our final thought. Since Pylos was founded purely because an underlying architecture, the Ruby on Rails and Greenlight, was creating roadblocks that limited innovation, I want you to think about how often foundational technology choices, maybe made years ago in your own organization, are dictating the limits of what you can do today.
Hmm.
Is your legacy system enabling flexibility, or is it silently telling you what you can and cannot build next? It's a really compelling thought to explore.
It absolutely is a fantastic thought to end on. And if you are facing those kinds of architectural roadblocks, or you just need rock-solid hosting for powerful open-source solutions like Pylos, remember that SafeServer cares about your hosting and your digital transformation needs. You can find out how they can support you in building robust, scalable solutions at www.safeserver.de. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the architecture of modern digital learning. We'll catch you next time.